KFI.
Los Angeles.
Special holiday rebroadcast of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From January 29th and December 20th of this year, it's Art and his guest Mel Waters talking about Mel's voice. And now, the best of Coast to Coast AM.
To reach Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
Mel Waters has appeared on Coast to Coast AM several times over the years now. Many may remember his accounts of the mysterious hole on his property in Central Washington, which appeared to have no bottom. The hole was, by Mel's account, measured to a depth of 80,000 feet, utilizing fishing line and a weight. Since Mel's first appearance on the show, many strange, fascinating, and rather unfortunate things have happened to Mel and the people somehow related to the hole. In a moment, it's back to Mel's hole and more. And now, here he is from, I don't know where he is right now, Mel Waters. Mel, welcome to the program.
I'm here in the Pacific Northwest.
Somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
That'll do. First of all, it's great to hear from you, and I guess we heard from you, Mel, because, what, were you out somewhere when we did a rebroadcast of the original Mel's Hole thing?
Yeah, I guess this was last week sometime, and I was coming back from Nevada, and it turned out I get a lot of rides from truckers.
Uh-huh.
You might find this interesting. I look a hell of a lot like Willie Nelson.
Do you?
People will come up to me, and particularly truckers, and say, "Do you know you look like Willie Nelson?"
No kidding.
And then I tell them, no, I'm not Willie Nelson. I am Mel Waters.
And they know who you are?
Well, they know exactly who I am. And next thing you know, I've got three or four truckers standing around me, and we're talking. And
well, how do you get them to believe you? I once was out in my, I've got an RV, Mel.
Yeah.
And we talked to truckers on CB. You know, that's real handy when you're on the road. And I encountered some truckers, my wife and I did, and we were running with them. You know, you do that. You kind of run in a pack. And they wouldn't believe it was me. They said, your name is Art. You're from Broadway. Are you Art Bell? I said, yes, I'm Art Bell. They said, no, you're not.
I haven't had any problem with it. It's interesting. I guess a lot of the truckers that are listening to you aren't seeing you on your website. I guess they have no mental picture of you at all. So I think.
Well, I mean, even on the radio, though, on CB. We were just talking to them on CB.
Oh, they heard your voice.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
they would not believe it was me.
Oh.
They finally did, but it took about an hour. Anyway, Mel.
We're heading back, and we're near Portland, and he turns on the radio, and I'm on the air. You know, at first. I didn't believe I was, this is a dream. We've been on the road too long. And that was me. And we were wrapping up the show there, and I decided, well, I'm heading back here. I had to see a doctor for a checkup here. And so I came up here, and I decided, what the heck, I'll bring the audience up to date here. I kind of left people dangling there at the end of...
I got a lot of, hey, I'm dangling here. What's the story on Mel's Hole? To bring everybody, just very quickly, the 101, you had a piece of property in Washington.
Yeah, out near Ellensburg, Washington, the center of Washington State, near the Manassas Ridge, which is sort of like the mountain range that runs along. Ellensburg is in the Kittitas Valley, and so you got a valley, you've got mountain ranges and ridges and so forth, and that's basically where the property is located out there.
happened? Go ahead, tell them
What happened with the property.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Okay, we'll give you the nickel tour,
as it were. Thank you, good.
Okay. This was back in 97, so this was 5 years ago almost,
that I
sent a fax to the show here, and basically I described what I had done about this hole and how I lowered some fishing line into it because, quite frankly, for years and years and years and years and years, people were dumping stuff into the holes. I'm talking refrigerators. I'm talking dead animals. My favorite thing to toss in there was TV picture tubes, but no matter what we tossed in there, we never heard anything hit bottom.
Let me stop you for just one second. Mel, do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Go get your Bible. I'll wait.
I have the Bible right here, and I will...
You have it that handy?
Yes.
Place your hand on it, Mel.
It is right on the Bible.
Do you swear to me, with your hand on that Bible, Mel, that what you are telling me and about to tell me is the whole truth, the absolute truth?
Let us say the absolute truth.
I will say the absolute truth. Cute. I'm sorry about the whole truth thing. The absolute truth, with your hand on the Bible, so help you God.
Yes, I do.
All right. All right, then let us proceed.
So you
threw TV picture tubes down, but I mean, I remember cows going down and...
Yeah, some people do dead cattle out there. I had a little Mexican fellow that used to throw literally truckloads of tires down there.
And there was enough, the hole was big enough so that you could throw something down and you wouldn't hear it cascading off the side as it went down.
It was 9 feet across, and it had a retaining wall around the top of it, and the stone went down a bit. But as far as I can tell, as far as I could see...
No splash, no crash, nothing. Bang, nothing.
And it seemed to be, and it didn't look like it tapered. It looked, you know, from everything that I could see.
It looked as wide as far as you could see.
It was a hole.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's further than I could see. It tapered. I had no idea. But I figure if something tapered, eventually tapers down to nothing, and things start collecting.
Well, 9 feet in diameter, that's a big hole.
That's a good side hole. Three yards across, that's more than the average human being is standing up.
So you had something across the hole, right?
Yeah, we put a some corrugated metal and stuff on top of it kind of to secure it.
By the way, had you fenced the hole in? Was there any protection? Was there a sign up that said...
Beware of the hole? No.
Yeah, beware of the hole.
Oh, I think would fall under the category of attractive nuisance.
Uh-huh.
You start warning people, and that gets people enticed. So.
But how about protecting people? I mean,
oh well, again, that's
God,
what the corrugated metal on top was for. It was secured on there pretty good, so you can, you couldn't open this up without basically busting the mechanism open. And
so you began lowering fishing line into the hole from this centerpiece, right?
Yeah. First, I used to do a lot of shark fishing, so I had a couple of big fishing poles with a lot of line on them. And what I was curious about is to find out if there was any water down there. You know, what the heck? So I lowered a big reel full of line into it, and had a roll of lifesavers on the bottom. The roll of the lifesavers was simply because if it hit water, the lifesavers would dissolve.
Absolutely.
It would melt.
Sure.
You know, it's an old fisherman's trick. So that's what I did. You know, I lowered down. I emptied a reel. I assume there's about 500 yards of line on this particular reel there.
Right.
I did that with another reel, so I connected them up there, and I get down to about 3,000 feet. And same result. And then finally, I get kind of nuts about the whole thing there, so I went and bought basically monofilament in wholesale quantities. It's the kind of stuff that they fill the fishermen's reels with down at the sporting goods stores. You see, they have monster reels.
Giant.
So, you know, basically I started lowering the stuff down there on a 1 pound lead weight into the hole.
By the way, did you have any help, or were you doing this all by yourself?
Well, No, the project was conducted by myself. I didn't have, you know, assistance or anything.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Your own property anyway, right?
It was my property. My wife was becoming estranged from me, so she wasn't hanging around or anything. I was just sort of out there at the property doing, you know, just to satisfy my own curiosity. And basically, at the point where I had reached 80,000 feet of line into the hole, and I had a little. I don't know, for lack of a better word, I had a little witch that kept track of, it's just like a little it's like a mechanical digital counter, but it was made for measuring how much line goes down. So I knew exactly how much line I'd put into the hole at that point,
which was
80,000 feet.
80,000
times 10, or 80,000, 80,000 feet. Something like 15 miles of line went into that hole.
There are people who have questioned, you had a little weight, of course, on the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you had the weight of the line itself. Mm-hmm. Now, at some point, people say the line would be so heavy that you would have no idea whether you actually hit bottom or not.
Well, I would think so. You know, and again, the only thing is I do recall I got back to you, what I did is I actually measured the weight of the line in the hole.
Okay,
I had a little spring fisherman's scale
to put on
the thing. And I believe I had somewhere between, with the weight on the bottom, between 17 and 18 pounds of weight attached to the top.
All right.
That's
well, that
would have
been
there.
Within the limits, all right.
I don't know. I think about it now, and I think about what I've been through, and I think about all these things here. And I don't know what to make of any of this stuff. I don't know why. I mean, I know that. Well, didn't you have somebody talk about they're drilling like these huge deep holes in Russia or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, you got your deep holes there. I don't know what the depth of a hole is. The hole there has been there for as long as anybody can remember. If you talk to some people there, they say, oh, yeah, this was there, you know, from my grandfather.
There are people who say they are volcanic vents or whatever.
Could be.
It could be. But still, at 80,000 feet, no bottom of the hole. Now, this hole exhibited some, lack of a better term, paranormal aspects.
And I believe what I had noted was that, my dogs wouldn't have anything to do with it. You know, they wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Right.
Birds didn't mess with the retaining wall. You know, it's the kind of place birds like to go. They didn't go anywhere near it. That there were people that told me various things that, you know, when I talked to them about it, one man claimed he had thrown a dog that died into it, and at some point after that, he was out there hunting around up there in the hills, and he saw the same dog just going through the woods like it was hunting with somebody.
So the hole then brought the dog back to life.
Well,
is the idea.
Now here's the thing. Here I said, well, did you call the dog back to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, did it come back to you? He said it looked like it was hunting with somebody else. That's what he said.
Well, at least it was happy.
It was there on the same places where he had gone to.
Now, you believe so strongly in the powers of this hole, I know, that as one condition... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The government came and took your hole.
There was quite a period of time there where, after the program, all hell had broken loose. And, I was going back to the hole. I actually wasn't living... When I had talked to you originally, I was not living on the property. We had just had a really major snowstorm, like 2 feet of snow in 24 hours, and most of my trailer buildings and stuff were all caved in on the property, so it was a real mess out there. Anyway, I'd taken an apartment in town, and so, you know, it was the next day or whatever, I go back there, and, I'm driving up to my property, and even before I get anywhere near the property, I'm met by basically uniformed people who were telling me that there was a plane crash on my property.
That's
that,
right.
They have to investigate and clear the accident, and that I'm, you know, not to, you know, they will let me know when I can come back.
Now, this, bear in mind, everybody, this was immediately after our broadcast.
Yeah, this is almost...
Nobody
like
knew about the hole until the broadcast. Immediately after the broadcast, next day he goes back, and they're giving him this plane crash trash.
I'm no dummy. I'm looking around. I don't see any smoke. I don't smell any smoke, and I didn't see any evidence of what would be a plane crash, so I'm pretty much believing they're handing me a bill of goods.
Right.
And, I said, look, this is my property. I want to get onto it.
Mm.
And basically there were some threats made against me that... I was being told that it would be fairly easy for people to find a drug lab on my property there. I'm basically a man who deals in herbs and Native American herbal medicine.
They're saying, like, back off, buddy, or we got
We got you. And what could I do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I had there, I suppose, could be construed as a drug lab. I mean, I don't know. But that's where it was.
Well, was it a real drug lab or?
Well, I had the various plants that grow native in that area there. I had some plants that I brought up from Nevada growing over there. But none of these things are anything but plants that you would find growing in a high desert environment.
And there are a lot of psychedelic hallucinogenic plants.
I did not deal with anything like that.
Well, but that's normal. I mean, that's all over the desert. It may not be widely known, but it's truth. There's all kinds of hallucinogens that grow naturally in the desert.
Oh, the people that know, and I've worked extensively with Native Americans, and you know, they can walk through an area, and they can tell you everything.
Okay, so it's not like you had a meth lab up there or anything.
Yeah, that's what they were implying. There was
nothing. It was herbal stuff. All right. So they scare you the hell away. Then how did you come to make a deal with the government? How did that happen?
I have a hard time figuring out what led around here. But basically, I wasn't going to back off. I was talking to the press. You are the press, Art Bell. And so what they did is offer to lease my property from me in perpetuity for a very healthy sum of money. And I'm talking like $250,000 a month to have use of the property. Yeah, that's $3 million a year.
That's a lot of money.
And, you know, I had agreed for them to let me relocate in Australia, a place that I love and actually wish I could go back to, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, you did, in fact, go to Australia because I had a couple of emails when you were there.
I would contact you from time to time there just to let you know I was okay.
And you were in Australia. Oh, I know that's true. So you had taken the money, and I figured you were probably sipping martinis in some nice Aussie outback location with lots of nice young Australian, and just having a nice life.
Combing my beard and all that stuff.
So what the hell happened?
Well, I was doing well. I did a lot of good work over there. One of the things that I was allowed to do was to bring some of my plants with me.
Did they send you the money?
Oh, yeah. It appeared regularly in my account. I got the money. Johnny on the spot. It was great. You know, they allowed me to bring my dogs with me, which I don't know if you know about transporting dogs across the seas, but you normally can't bring dogs.
I know. Well, without quarantine for a long period of time.
They were not in quarantine. They just said, hey.
So they got you right past that.
They got me right through there. I got the red carpet treatment.
You were the king of the whole, no doubt about it.
That was it. I was living good. I was happy, and you know, basically, you know, doing fine, doing my work out there. Did a lot of work out there on wombat rescue and wombat restoration. There, it was great.
How many $250,000 payments did they actually come through with?
Well, I was there from. I haven't tallied it up there, but I was basically there from March of '97. Until right before the millennium, I mean the year 2000.
Okay. All right. Mel, hold on. Hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm Art Bell. Mel Waters is my guest. Much more ahead.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me.